Hebrews chapter 6. And I want to read the first 12 verses. Hebrews 6, 1 through 12. Paul says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, we will go on, if God permit. You're dull of hearing, but if God permit, we'll go on. Then in verse 4, for it is impossible, if God permit, we'll go on, but it is impossible, because it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, those who have once tasted of the heavenly gift, those who were once made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and those who have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, it is impossible, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain which cometh oft upon it, bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth a blessing from God, it brings forth good fruit. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto burning, whose end, nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, this is my text, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work of faith, your work, and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you minister to the saints and do yet minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. Inherit the promises of our God. Now, my title this morning, the title of my message is Things That Accompany the Glorious Salvation of God. Things that accompany a salvation. I'm going to look at these words far beyond the original context here. In the original context, the writer is speaking of faith and hope, patience and diligence, Christian conduct, perseverance, keep going, keep on keeping on. And that's what he's talking about. That's his subject. And then if you read on in this chapter, he'll show you how Abraham did that very thing. Through patience, he inherited the promise, the hope that was set before him. And that hope was founded in two unchangeable, wonderful things. God said it, believe, you shall be saved. And God swore by his name, he's just as sure as I'm God. He said it and then swore to an oath, made an oath. And so our faith, we trust in the faithfulness of our God. We trust in what he said, his faithfulness. His faithfulness to save us, his faithfulness to keep us, his faithfulness to glorify us in his own time. Now, remember this when you're talking about things that accompany salvation. In the context here, these things don't cause salvation, but they're the result of salvation. They follow salvation. They're a part of salvation. Faith, hope, patience, perseverance, these things follow salvation. If you have salvation, you have these things. And he encourages them to follow on. He said, I've given you a very severe warning, but I'm persuaded much better things of you, and things that accompany salvation. And that is the things which follow on: faith and hope, patience and perseverance, and so forth and so on. Ultimately, and I love this, I love thinking of it, I love saying, ultimately, salvation is Christ. Spurgeon said, and I've said it here often, Christ is not only our Savior, he is the sum total of our salvation. You remember when Simeon took that infant, 8 days old, took him up in his arms and said, Lord, now I'm ready to depart in peace. Peace with God, peace in my heart, because I've seen your salvation. Here it is in my arms, this little infant. I've seen your salvation. Now, salvation to us is actually everything that's decreed for us and given to us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all part of our salvation. God hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according to he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. All these, that's part of our salvation. That's what God's ordained for us. That's what God's given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Christ earned for us. And that's what the Holy Spirit shows us. What Christ has done for us. What the Father's ordained for us. Now, Christ has made unto us, 1 Corinthians 1:30, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is all in and through and by of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are complete in him. When we see him, the Bible says, as he is, we'll be made like him. We'll be made like him. We'll be conformed to the image of God's dear and glorious and only begotten Son when we see him as he is. That's what the beloved John tells us. Now may the Holy Spirit this morning bring some things to our hearts. And I know you've heard these things before. Most of the world hasn't. Be thankful if you believe them. If you believe them, be thankful. They're so precious. Our salvation is based upon God's purpose, not ours. God's decision, not ours. God's power, not ours. God's will, not ours. And you'll see it in some of these points I make this morning. Things that accompany salvation. Number one of the things which accompanies salvation is divine election. Without divine election, there would be no salvation. Without unconditional election, there would be no salvation. Because God couldn't move toward us in any other way except in sovereign grace. He had to purpose his heart. He had to set his affections upon it. We didn't deserve anything but hell. We all deserve to slide right on down into the bottomless pit. But God set his affection upon some people. Listen, I thought about this yesterday and it blessed my heart so good. When I was growing up in times of sadness and sorrow and wondering what this world was all about and what would ever be my end and so forth and so on, God, back in eternity, had put his stamp on my forehead. He had sealed me with the stamp of eternal love. That was mine. Mama didn't know it. Daddy didn't know it. Nobody knew it, but God knew it. God had his hand on me before I ever came into this world. Back in eternity, he chose some people in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in eternity, looking down all of time, all of Adam's race, he chose some, he picked them out and stamped them with his stamp of divine love. These are mine. These are mine. These are mine. Saul of Tarsus. Christians didn't want to be around him. The apostles didn't want to be around him. Ananias didn't want to baptize him, but God said, that's all right. He's mine. He's a chosen vessel unto me to take salvation to kings, to the Gentiles throughout the world. Baptize him. God had a mark on him before he was ever born. God looked down through the ages in his unconditional election. The choice was from his heart, his mind. Nothing had nothing to do with us. Looked down through the ages, and he chose and marked a multitude which no man can number. And he said, they're mine. And put his stamp on their heads, the seal of eternal love. Ordered in all things, and sure, I'm going to bring them home. They're mine. They're mine. They're mine. Election wrote their name. God in election wrote their names in that eternal, unchangeable Lamb's Book of Life before he ever made this world. My name. At times when I thought in my life, wonder if anybody at all loved me, I didn't love myself. I'm sorry. It's just had bad times. All the while, unknown to me, God had said, I love that fellow. I set my affections upon him. I spared not my son, but delivered him up for him. I'm going to take him home. I'm going to make him just like my eternal and only begotten Son of God. Election purposed the eternal, the full and eternal salvation of those in the scriptures called his people, his sheep, his elect, those he chose in Christ before the foundation of the world. And that's why it says on many occasions where you had these accidental meetings, I must needs go through Samaria because there's an old woman there, an infamous prostitute. There's an old woman there, and I've set my seal upon her. She's mine. I'm going to take the word to her. And I am the Word. He went to her, gave her the living waters. Gave her the living waters. I must needs go through Samaria. One time, God must needs pass by where I was. Old Barney, you say, God's going to cross the path of every one of his sheep. He's going to cross their path. Thank God for that. Our only hope is election. That's our only hope. That God chose some people, that God's going to save some people. When I hear that news, I get in line and I say, why not me? They're described as sinners. Boy, that's me. I must needs go through Jerusalem. And then there's this awful word in our day. Religionists don't like to talk about election. I love it. I love it. Religionists don't like to talk about divine predestination, but it's so. It's so. Let me, in this first point, divine election. I think I quoted part of it a moment ago, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. You know what that literally saying, that word there, blesses, eulogize. Let's eulogize, let's exalt God, let's speak highly of God, because before he ever made this world, he spoke my name. He spoke well of us. He blessed us. Let's bless him because he blessed us. Then the Apostle Paul said in 2 Thessalonians, he said, chapter 2, he said, we're bound to give thanks unto God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you unto salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by gospel. Thank God he had his mark on you before the world ever began. We're bound to give thanks to God for you, beloved of the Lord. We're bound to give thanks to God for you who believe here this morning. Because God from the beginning has put his mark on you. Said they're mine, his invisible mark, his invisible seal of his eternal electing love. Put his mark on you. Put his mark on you. Now, secondly, this thing of divine predestination. Look at, turn back to Romans just a moment. Romans chapter 8. Verse 28, Romans 8, 28. Everybody quotes part of this. We know. And if we know it, it's wonderful if we know. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Called according to His purpose. And the Apostle Paul said, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. Called me when it pleased God. Called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, that's their election. That's their loving election. God set His affections upon them. God made them His in His purpose. For those whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. He predetermined, that's what that word means. He predetermined to make them in the image of His Son, that His Son might be the firstborn among many brethren. He predetermined. He elected them. And then you have the same thing in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5, predestinated unto the adoption of sons. Those whom He elected, He predestinated unto the adoption of sons. Unto the adoption of sons. It is not fitting. It is not fitting. It is dishonoring to God and utter blasphemy to talk about salvation being a thing of chance. It's not a matter of chance. It's a matter of God's purpose. From beginning, before the foundation of the world, to the end. And known unto God are all of His works from the beginning to the end. Declared unto God the end from the very beginning. All God's works are sure. He said, if I've said it, I'll do it. If I purpose it, I'll bring it to pass. It's certain. God purposed it. He's going to bring it to pass. Before this world was ever made, He looked upon His Son in His purpose as a lamb crucified. A lamb crucified. And all these names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Christ crucified for those people. For those names. And that's what this world's all about. God crucified His Son. Bringing many sons unto glory. To make many sons just like Him. Just like Him. Oh, man. I know that men took the Son of God and crucified Him, but His worst punishment was when God made His soul an offering for sin. His worst punishment when God made Him to be sin and turned His back on Him. Poured out His infinite wrath and all of its unrelieved intensity. Treated Him like we deserve to be treated. Like we deserve to be treated. Salvation is of the Lord. Will He who ordained the path of every star leave the results of the death of His Son to mere chance, to sinful human will? No, 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 no. 1,000 times no. It's in His purpose. It's in His hands. It's in His power. And Christ shall say triumphantly, I see the travail of my soul. There they are. Behold, I and the children which You gave me. There they are. Haven't lost a one. Haven't lost a one. All whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. There they are. Haven't lost a one. Redeemed every one and brought them home. That's the purpose of the Son. Predestination. In predestination, divine predestination, God ordained the time, God ordained the manner, and God ordained the means of the salvation of all whom he chose. You remember Lydia from Thyatira came to Philippi on a selling trip, and lo and behold, she ran into the Apostle Paul, and she was gloriously saved. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch on the way back down south? God sent a prophet across his path, tell him about Christ. He was saved, baptized. Saul of Tarsus, over and over and over. I thought about yesterday, I thought about Abraham. Back young in a world of idolaters, his father was an idol maker. His father was an idolater. He was an idolater. He'd never known anything but idolatry. Dwelt in a land of spiritual darkness and death. And the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was yet in Ur of Chaldees. And he said, follow me. God's purpose, God's power, God's grace, God brings it to pass. David said it like this, ordered in all things and sure. Mr. Spurgeon said this, he said, predestination marks the way so completely that salvation doth never overstep the bounds, and it is never at a loss for the road. Predestination marks out the road. Bring salvation to every one of God's elect. Every one of God's elect. Ordained in all things and sure. The Bible says in Acts 13:48, and as many as were ordained to eternal life, when they heard the gospel, they believed it. And the others didn't. And as many as were ordained to eternal life with them, believe. Then there is this thing also, there's redemption, election, predestination, redemption. It's one thing to choose us and predetermine the time and so forth of our salvation. Mark out the path ordered in all things, but they've got to be redeemed. And that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:11-12. Hebrews 10:14. John 10:14-15. 22-27. Christ knows his sheep. He loves his sheep. He laid down his life for his sheep. And he said, they know me. They hear my voice. And another voice they will not follow. They follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They shall never perish. And then came the religious leader and said, what you talking about? Said, if you be the Christ, won't you tell us plain? He said, I told you over and over. But you don't believe, because you're not my sheep. You're not my sheep. Thank God he has some sheep. And Christ redeems them. By his one offering, he redeemed us unto God. He obtained for us eternal redemption, the Lord Jesus Christ. A redemption that's perfect and complete. There are no shortcomings in this redemption. It's perfect and complete. It was not for everybody. If it was, everybody be saved. It was for the elect of God. Those who are chosen and predestinated unto eternal glory. Predestinated to be conformed to the image of God's Son. That's those for whom he died. That's those whom he redeemed. Romans 3:24. God sent forth his Son. No, that's Galatians. Made of a woman, made under the law to redeem us from the curse of the law. In Galatians chapter 3 it says, I'll find out what it says. Galatians chapter 3. Look here. Being justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that's in God's Son, whom God sent forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood. He redeemed us. He perfected us before God. Those Old Testament priests went in oftentimes making it often the same sacrifice that never took away sin. They were types of Christ. But in the fullness of time, when the time was come, God sent forth his Son. And this Son, this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of the Father. Going to sit there until all of his enemies are made his footstool. For by that one offering, he hath, listen to these words, Hebrews 10, by this one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, those that are set apart, the elect of God. By one offering, he perfected them forever. Now God can show them what he's done for them, reconcile them to himself. Elected of God. The redemption of Christ, the blood redemption of Christ, it is efficacious to all for whom he died. No man will ever stand before God and say he died for me and be cast into hell. All of those for whom he died will stand before the Father, sing the praises of the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood. Worthy is the Lamb. And they'll learn down here to sing the song from their hearts, knowing what it means. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Thank God he washed it white as snow. He perfected them forever. And then you go on down a few verses and it says, and their sins and their iniquities I'll never remember against them again. They're perfected. Their sins are purged. They're put away. They're gone. Perfected. You can't get any better than that. That's why we can say with First John chapter 3, as he is, so are we in this world. That's hard to impossible to take in, but it's so. God sees us in his Son. God sees us in the righteousness, the robe, the garment of salvation that his Son provided, his own righteousness. And there he is and must be, of necessity, Holy Ghost regeneration. Election, predestination, redemption, Holy Ghost regeneration. We're dead. That's what the Bible says about me. Dead in trespasses and in sin. Dead. Alive to the world. Not intellectually dead. Not even morally dead. But dead spiritually. When I was born, I did not, I could not, it's impossible, see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I could not see the majesty and the glory of that great God with whom we have to do. God had to give me eyes to see. God had to give me a new life. Except you be born again, you never see the kingdom of God. And those who are born, it's a great mystery. They're born of water and of the word, water and the blood. Great mystery. The wind blows where it pleases. You hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it's coming from, where it's going. It's just that way to every person who's born of the Spirit of God. The wind, the holy wind, the Holy Ghost sweeps across their souls, brings the dead to life. Brings the dead to life. They pass from death to life. Born of God. And this is not a birth of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. With the word of truth. With the word of truth. The Spirit, and I love this as I've reiterated here before, the Spirit of God takes the things of Christ and shows them to us. Not just doctrine, it's reality. Shows them to us. Being born of the Spirit, we have eyes to see. We see ourselves, and repentance is stirred up in our hearts. As we see ourselves in God's light, as we see ourselves standing before God, repentance stirs up in our hearts. And as we get a glimpse of Christ, hope springs up in our hearts. I'm an old dead dog sinner, deserve nothing but hell. But oh, look at Christ, who he is, what he did, what he became, what he endured, and where he is now. Look what he did for sinners. Look, and hope is stirred up in our hearts. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Through faith in Christ we become married to him. In sacred love and trust, we join to him. We won't let him go. We've got to have him. He's our life. He's our water of life. He's our bread of life. He's our life. What Christ did for sinners, my friends, was never left a chance. Never left a chance. It's perfect. It was complete. And it's certain. When Christ came into this world, the angel told Joseph that she's going to, don't you leave this woman now. She's going to bring forth a son by the Holy Ghost. She's going to bring forth a son. She did. They shall call his name Jesus, and they did. And he shall save his people from their sin, and he shall. He shall not fail. God said it, I'll bring it to pass. God said, I said it, I'll bring it to pass. I purposed it, I'll do it. And so, he shall not fail. Now that's what true faith believes. True faith believes in Christ, our salvation. Not only our Savior, Christ, our salvation, who through faith in his name is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Faith believes that salvation is of the Lord. True faith believes that salvation is of the Lord. True faith believes that salvation is in the Lord. He is our salvation. And true faith believes that salvation is all by the grace of God. Not works, grace. Not works, grace. And true faith believes that salvation comes to us through faith. Faith alone. Nothing less, nothing more, nothing else, nothing added to it. Faith alone. Faith comes to us. Now, you say, I sure like to know if I'm one of God's elect. Would you? Maybe I can show you. Look at Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul writing to these people at Thessalonica. He said, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. We're so thankful for you. We thank God for you, your testimony. Remembering, this is what we always remember about you when we mention you in our prayers and thank God for you. We remember without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope. Always remember that. That's your testimony. In our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God And our Father, we remember that, your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope, in the Lord Jesus and the Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved brethren, your election of God, you're God's elect. Boy, wouldn't that be a welcome letter to come from the Apostle Paul to me, have it read to me? Well, here it is. Here it is. It's for me. It's for David. It's for all of you who believe. Knowing, brethren, your election of God, how in the world do you know? For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. What's he talking about? Your work of faith, and labor of love, patience of hope. You didn't go on like you were worshiping idols. You turned from your idols to serve the living God. And your faith is spoken of throughout the world. And so what is the word of God to you? Is it real? Is it living? The living word. Quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Does it bring repentance in your heart, produce repentance? Does it produce hope when you read of him? Came not in word only, not as the words of men, but as the word of God in power, in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance. God help all of us to believe more and more. Okay, David.